Whew. Oh, hello there, and welcome to Poor Quality, a show where some friends talk about beer and life and all the goofy stuff that gets in between the two. Each week, the hosts may be different, but don't worry, they are guaranteed to be poor quality material. So join us and listen in as the brew crew talks about what ails their life. Now let's see what we're drinking. So smooth.
Back at it again.
Just like we planned.
And just when Penny started playing with her rattle toy.
I was just thinking the same thing because Taco was doing that too.
As long as it's a jing jing jingling, I'd like to welcome you all to Poor Quality. This is episode 13. Yes. Just in case I almost forgot again. It is good to be here as always. For now, I am Michael. And I'd like to say...
Is that going to change?
Hey, I don't know.
Yeah, what about for later?
I'd like to save that for later. But for now, I'm drinking a point session pale ale, which I actually have never heard of. Has anybody drank a session pale ale?
Yeah.
SPA? No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Just like in general?
Yeah, I'd never heard of that prior.
It's just like a lower alcohol content than like typical for an IPA.
Either way, it is points, and Colin would be so sad if he heard that I was drinking point.
Because Colin hates Wisconsin.
It's true. But it is super crisp, very smooth, and one of my favorite points. I just finished the case, or should I say we, because I know that these guys have been helping me with it. but all the Wisco beer is gone, and with it is, I guess, this prompt. Boy, I'm struggling over here.
Wow.
This week we're coming to the table and, describing our beers with a place in the world.
Huh.
It can be somewhere you've never been. It can be somewhere that's very familiar to you. It is up to you, but, with this beer, it is very, light, very crisp. It's not quite wintry, but it's very springtime. I imagine myself in the Swiss Alps, which I have never been, in the summertime. Where maybe there's some snow crested upon the peaks of those hills, and I'm looking down at a very small cutesy village. Maybe someone's playing a big old, what's that yodely horn called? That
The yodel horn.
Yodel horn, thank you. up on top of maybe one of the plateaus of one of the mountains, and... yeah, I'm just sitting there, and I'm enjoying this nice, fresh, crisp session pale ale. So yeah, that is the prompt. Where in the world, Trent, are you having your beer?
So I am currently drinking the Exile Giving Tree IPA. Exile's from Des Moines here. And it's a three-hop IPA. It's got Amarillo, Citra, and Simcoe hops. So it's a very citrusy beer. It's got like an orange sweetness to it, which makes me think to the few times I've been out to Florida with my family on vacay, some fresh squeezed orange juice, like every morning, just having that right there and ready, just so delicious and so tasty.
That sounds heavenly.
Yeah. I don't go out to the beach a lot. We took a lot more mountain trips than beach trips growing up, but the few times I have been out there, just all the fresh fruits just make me so happy.
That makes me happy.
Zach.
Yeah?
We've missed you.
Sorry.
Tell me.
Welcome back, Zach.
Welcome. Since you just left during mine, tell me what you're drinking. Tequila?
Well.
it went so well last time.
That's the tequila I bought for you.
So true.
Tequila is my muse. No, I just grabbed that just in case. I'm actually going to drink a Citradella.
Oh, nice.
It's a tangerine IPA from New Belgium. And hang on, let me.
Ooh. Oh, what a sound.
That was very pleasant, actually. Very well cracked.
enjoy this beer with your friends this summer from New Belgium. Quench your thirst.
Drinking's good.
And so is ruining your friend's hearing. This beer reminds me of the mountains because it's from Colorado and it's like citradelic and certain things are allowed, I guess, in Colorado. And yeah, I'm gonna go with
you could say that.
I'm gonna go with Swan Mountain in Summit County. It's like a pretty hikeable mountain, and it overlooks Dillon Reservoir, which is a gorgeous lake with trees and yeah. Chris, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Hefeweizen by Yazoo.
Oh, and that's the banana one, right?
Yeah, that's one I had last.
That's a good.
Yeah,
I think. That's one of I think that's one of the first beers I had in Nashville at Red Robin with you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It is brewed here in Nashville. I don't know. I'm kind of scratching my head on this one. Like the name just screams Germany, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I feel Germany in this one.
I don't know if I do.
It's too many bananas for Germany.
Yeah, it's too light. I feel like a German.
Did you have someone in your life that like baked good banana bread?
Oh, that's true. I do like banana bread.
Like a house or like a memory that you can associate with. Because that's what, that beer always reminds me of banana bread.
Yeah. That's a good one. I guess then it reminds me of home, but that's not a tropical place.
No.
Or okay. A destination to go to. I don't know. I keep going back to New Hampshire, actually. I'm going to say New Hampshire.
Okay.
Oh.
In the summer. Nice. Going to Saco River and canoeing.
That sounds like fun.
That sounds so nice. I love canoeing.
So there you have it.
You heard it here first.
Hefeweizen, New Hampshire.
That's good. That's good, Chris. How far away is that from where you live?
That is about 2.5 hours.
Okay. So it's like a day trip. Hmm.
And now it's about 2 days.
Well,
not bad.
Hey, Matt, what you drinking?
Hey, Chris.
Or did you tell us already?
No. You're good. I'm drinking it's from Wisconsin. Mm. I don't really know where Wisconsin is. It's so
north.
Did you say Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin. I don't know.
Oh, you really should have got an Eastconsin beer. It's so much better.
No, it's you know, not. I hear that Wisconsin beer is far, far worse than Eastconsin beer. Isn't this a fun joke, Mike?
I'm welling up with rage and anger.
Let's just say there's the Green Bay Packers, and there's the Green Bay Slackers.
Did you say Green Bay Slackers? Holy! How have I never heard that before? The Green Bay Slackers. That is hilarious.
You chose not to hear it, Mike. New Glarus, Spotted Cow. I've never actually had this before. I didn't drink when I lived in Wisconsin. And now that I've come to Nashville, I just go crazy.
Crazy.
But this one, well, let me take a drink of this. Even though it's from Wisconsin, it definitely feels foreign. Really, really far out.
Yeah, totally.
I kind of imagine myself
on a study abroad trip. I'm almost sure of it. That's what you're going to talk about.
Study abroad. Yeah, I actually went on a study abroad trip about 2 years ago to Europe. And this, well, let me. It was that when I was on that trip. This beer reminds me of Alien.
No,
dang it! I don't know if I did I do that right.
No,
was that a good?
You didn't do it right, but you didn't do it wrong.
I mean, right.
I was trying to figure out how you were gonna make Sigourney Weaver into a place.
Yeah, yeah.
Where? All right. In the world is Sigourney Weaver
in this beer right here.
Right now.
I'm a little bit disappointed that you didn't Google where Sigourney Weaver lives.
I don't know if that's readily accessible information, because it's probably on a space station.
Well, not like her address.
Let's find out Sigourney Weaver's address.
Not her address.
1010 Sigourney Weaver Place.
There's a Sigourney, Iowa, apparently.
Really?
Apparently.
Hmm. Well.
Oh.
Well, Mike, you've gathered us here today.
That I have. The prompt kind of came from an idea that I had about where you guys like to be. Like, I know you guys for being where you live, but I don't know exactly if you had the choice where you'd spend the rest of your days. So I want you to come with me to find your beach. I was in Colorado earlier in January. We haven't talked about it yet. It was like 3 weeks ago, but that's okay. I just wanted to find time to talk about it because there is, to me, there is absolutely nothing like winter in the mountains. The snow is just beautiful. The mountains are just incredible. Scenery is gorgeous. The people are great. The atmosphere is fantastic. I love everything about being there. And like, snowboarding is just an added part of it because I've done that for a long, long time. But aside from that, like the people I was with, and just like I said, that atmosphere is just to me pretty incredible. And if I could, I mean, I would live there. Although that's not necessarily in the game plan right now, I would love to be able to like spend my days
just a summer home or a winter home.
Yeah, or a life home.
Or forever home.
Any sort of home I would love to have there.
I'm just thinking of all the homes you'll have after you're rich and famous.
That's, I mean,
a nursing home?
Could be that too, Chris. Thank you. But regardless, I would like to know where you guys find your beach. Whoever wants to pick that up.
I'll go.
Okay.
I'm trying to think here.
Mine.
You can edit out that long pause, right?
No, I'm leaving. No,
it seemed natural.
It's natural. You got to keep things natural,
easy flowing.
I have a couple different places that are my favorite places on Earth.
Okay.
And I obviously anywhere alien is playing. I'm like, but
just the once is too much, and then I circle back.
Is that every movie theater?
Yeah, so but I've got two places specifically that are my two favorite places on Earth. And it is Duluth, Minnesota.
Hey.
And yeah, that place, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Duluth.
I have.
Yeah.
It is, I actually don't know why. Like, it's not that great of a place. But something about it's right on the way to my cabin. My grandpa built a cabin with a couple of his friends when my mom was a kid. And my parents own the cabin now, and I've gone there every single summer of my life. And you drive right through Duluth to get there. And sometimes on the way back, we would stay in Duluth for a couple of nights. And I don't know why, but I'm just in love with that place.
It's a really cool
something
city.
About it is just incredible.
It's very pretty.
It just feels different.
Yeah,
like it I don't know, like you're right on the lake, and like there's some parts that feel bigger and some parts that feel like really kitschy and small and cute. Like it's like a really good blend.
We took a football camp there once in Duluth, and we were all just, I mean, it's probably what, a 4 hour, 4.5, 5 hour drive from Stevens Point. So we took,
yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. We took this big coach bus, and like, we were all just chatting on the way. And as soon as we got to Duluth, I think we were all just staring out the windows and just admiring. It was
because it's beautiful both in topography, 'cause it's right on the edge of a pretty significant, it's not a mountain, but it's like, it's a rolling Wisconsin hill.
Yeah.
Right.
Or it's like a bluff. Minnesota, I guess. Yeah. A bluff is a better way to put it. But it's right on the edge of that. Just like Trent said, it's right on, Lake Superior. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also it's a really old, like, shipping village. Right.
Yeah.
So
it's like historic.
The, Yeah, it's historic, and the buildings are just, I don't know, it's something about the buildings are super cool and nostalgic and old-fashioned and just amazing. And the other place is Innsbruck, Austria, which is just which is right on, right in a valley between two sets of mountains. Like, you can look and see Austria and Italy when you're on top of one of the mountains, and it's just one of the most beautiful places on earth. And if I could, I would just move there and live there forever.
You FaceTimed me from on top of that mountain, and I will I never did. Forget that. It was unreal. And you were
very sleepy.
I was sleepy.
Because of the 7-hour difference.
That's also
true. But yeah, it was, that was a life-changing trip. Trent said before, I went on a study abroad trip a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And that was, I had never been to Europe before, and it was incredible.
I had a moment like that as well when I was in Edinburgh, and on top of Arthur's Seat, I was looking out over Scotland, essentially, and the sea, and it was unbelievable. This is going to be like a groundswell sort of moment, but I picked up this like clay rock. It was like really reddish in texture and like crumbly in my hand, and like I made it a part of myself, and I threw it back onto the mountain, and I walked away, and I know that part of myself is still on that mountain. It was very, very life changing. I had a moment very similar. Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool.
I had a moment when I was taking the gondola up the mountain, and we saw two of the kids on our trip trying to scale the side of it. And we were like, well,
how about you?
You guys are going to die.
Caution. Caution.
Okay.
I don't know if this is going to count because I haven't actually been there. But all throughout high school, I took just like a ton of French courses, and like they're just learning about the French culture and like the history over there. And I think just like being in Europe and like able to go to these places, like, you know, on day trips because you're there.
Right. People don't understand like how close Europe is to each other.
Yeah. And there's trains everywhere, and like, it's just a thing. And like, there's like vacation time, like built into like the French work year, and fresh food, and the culture there is just really unique. And I think I'd really enjoy setting up, I don't know, some sort of shop there and just like living a cozy little comfy French life.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I wish it was easier to like pack up and just go and just live somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if I ever somehow make a ton of money.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We just need to make a load of money, and then it's cool.
And thanks.
Once you got money, everything's good, right?
This is such a tough question.
Sorry.
No, it's really good. It's like super thought provoking, and like, I don't know, I enjoy talking about it, and like, I wanted to go to each one of the places you guys talked about, you know, because you all made like really good cases for each one, and it's like, wow, like I want to have a life changing moment on top of a mountain, or like I want to go to Paris and, you know, just do my thing.
And that's why Zach chose Wauwega, Wisconsin.
I chose Ashwaubenon.
Those are real towns, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They're very real.
That's not gibberish we just made up, even though it sounds like it.
Woof. No, I don't know. I really can't narrow it down. I mean, Colorado is one of my favorite places on earth. I love that. Lita and I went to North Carolina, and we're in Pisgah National Forest, and where our campsite was, 10 feet away from this beautiful like stream that went through like you were down in a valley type thing, and there were mountains all around you and big trees and like rocks, and like it was like a foggy, like it was like the coolest, best spot I've ever been in. That was amazing. And then like, I don't know, I love rain, so I think London or Seattle would be super cool. And then, I don't know, there's just a lot of places to go and see. And I don't know, a song that I've really liked recently is called Never Come Back Again, by Austin Plain. And so I guess my answer to your question about where I would want to end up is kind of a cop-out, but I would never want to end up in one place. I would always want to be traveling and always seeing new places and having new experiences. Hmm. And
that's a very good answer.
I feel like that's something that you and Mike would agree pretty hardcore on.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it too. Like, if you stay in the same spot, I don't think you remain the same person, but I think seeing and experiencing, like you're saying, different things really helps you explore like what it means to be like your own person.
Yeah.
And it's very, very helpful in that sense.
Yeah. Like each place you're in and each experience and each, even if you do end up coming back again, like you, I mean, you're a different person, so it's going to be different how you view it. And I think who you're with is a big part of that happiness. So, yeah, I don't know. If I had my way, Lita and I would live in a tiny house that we could pull wherever and just be in a place for a year or two. And
that sounds awesome.
And move on.
That's very cool.
You know, it's kind of hard to pull a trailer over to Europe, though, you know.
Oh, sure enough.
It's a little tough to get it all the way over.
No, you just get one of those shipping.
Get a houseboat. Not if you made a shipping container.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I didn't even think of that, though.
Just throw the trailer on in there.
It'll be so spooky if they craned you up there, though.
Oh, God.
You don't mind if we stay in here, do you?
I'll be fine.
Let me know. I'm eating a bowl of cereal in here, so I don't want to spill milk all over my lap.
Small slow movements, please, with the crane.
Please be careful with everything I own.
I haven't taped down the lamps yet. Just give me a moment.
Nothing is taped down, don't you know?
The light bulbs are new. If they break, I'm going to be very upset.
Where do I plug this in?
And you just fill the whole thing with packing peanuts.
Bleeding? Sorry, boy.
Mike?
I do want to hear about Chris's beach.
So, real creative, my beach is a beach.
Hey.
You've got the first beach of all of any of us.
You know, life can be a beach sometimes, Chris. That's okay.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, that's exactly what I was going for.
Honestly, every time Mike has said that, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, we can't interrupt Chris anymore. He's gonna
Chris, which beach is your beach?
Okay, well, that was the first part, but I want to talk about that second.
Oh.
The other place...
Interesting.
The other place is Alaska. Oh. I've only been once, but it was just gorgeous. And it was on a cruise, and we were going through, like, this one day going through the fjords, like, between mountains on either side, and then just glaciers and this, like, turquoise blue, like... completely placid water, and it was just amazing.
Mm. When was that?
And I don't know. That was maybe 2008 is my guess. Okay. So it was a while back, but it was just, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it, and the air was just so crisp and fresh, and it was summertime, so it was like 60s.
That's how I felt when I was in... There was... one stop, we took a bus through Europe when I was on my trip, and we stopped at a rest stop, basically, to gas up the bus and gas up the people on the bus.
Get gassed up.
Get all gassed up, folks. But
yeah, you know those gas station burritos, they really get you sometimes.
Oh, sure, and in Austria, sure they got tons of those. a lot of burritos in Central Europe.
Really into their culture.
Yeah. I think we all have a grasp on.
Uh-huh.
They've got Quick Trip, right?
Anyway, there was, we were at this gas stop, and it was looking over this valley that splayed down, and there are houses kind of sprinkled on there, and there's kind of solitary road, and then up into the mountains again. There are mountains on both sides. And I just stood and stared at just this green valley, just these tiny homes, and these just a background of these huge mountains. And I just stood there, and I took enormous breaths of Chris, like you were saying, this crisp air that you just do not get here, especially not in Nashville. But yeah. I just taken these big breaths, And I've never gotten a genuine tear in my eye from nature like I did in that moment, standing next to a gas station, looking over this Austrian countryside. And I have a picture of exactly where I stood, and it is one of the greatest memories of my entire life. It's just standing there and feeling... I promised myself right then and there that I was going to get back there someday. I don't know how I'm going to find it, but I promised myself that I had to come back. So Chris, Alaska,
the beach.
We got to hear about your beach stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So Massachusetts has a lot of, well, at least on the East Coast part of Massachusetts, has a lot of like small beach towns, and
not as many on the west side.
not as many on that landlocked side.
But I don't know, I guess in particular, like, I get, well, the city I'm from, Beverly, is sort of, part of it's sort of beachy, but not as much as like Rockport and Gloucester and Nahant and
Rockport. In
particular, there's, I guess, a real Rockport.
Yeah. Rockport is just like so many little shops and like
an industry.
It's really nice. But
a city on the move.
Filled with tacos.
We keep interrupting Chris. I'm so, so sorry, Chris.
He doesn't even get it.
That's okay. I know by the end of the podcast I'll get my whole story in. So that's comforting.
That's what he begs on.
Chris, you're within, Chris, your parents' house is within biking distance of the sea, right? Or the ocean.
It's in walking distance.
Oh.
It's just down the street. I mean, it's a river that leads to the ocean in like a mile or less, but I could walk 2 miles and be at the actual ocean.
Is the river freshwater or is it kind of salty?
Salt water.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if that was like flowing from a freshwater source, that'd be pretty cool.
But since it's salt, that's not cool.
It's a stupid river.
Dumb story.
But I think, in particular, Nahant would be like my second beach, because it's basically like, it's almost an island, but it's not, because it's connected by a causeway. Like, I think a long time ago it was just like, when it was low tide you could walk across to it, kind of thing, but then they built a long bridge essentially. But I don't know, when you're driving in there, especially in the summer, like all the way along, it's like beach on either side and then of that causeway, and there's just always people flying kites, so it's just all these colorful kites flying up high on either side, and you drive through, and seagulls so cool. fly over, and I don't know, you get into the town, and it's just all these little houses, like, up on a hill and stuff, and it's just all surrounded by water, and it's really, really a small town with just a library, a post office, and, like, a general store, and that's where my grandparents live.
Oh, nice.
And funny story, when I was little, I used to think it was Nahant, because they're, like, off the boat Italian, and I don't know, it was far enough away from my house that when we drove there I was like, oh, this is Nahant. This is what Nahant looks like. Or this is what Italy looks like, sorry. But Nahant is pretty cool.
Nahant, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
I had a thought, and I wondered what each of us would think of each other's, like, bliss spot, like our perfect spot, because Chris, I've heard you talk about Massachusetts, and I've heard you wish that you could have that salt water smell, you know, just once in a while, because here in Nashville you don't get a lot of that. It's a lot more of the whole smog, city, and diesel, cigarettes.
Des Moines got a reputation for smelling like dog food, so that's fun.
Yeah, and Belmont smelled like the sewers.
A garbage truck. So,
but I remember Chris has talked about that, and I mean, I have moments where I flash to places like Washington Island in Door County in Wisconsin, where it's just, you just hear the rustling of the leaves, and and you can hear and smell the lake water, and it's cool, and it's cold, and I don't know, you're taking a walk, you're taking a bike ride down a back road, And that's just, that's something that's so very personal to me growing up in the Midwest. And the salt water and the small shops is so personal to Chris growing up. I wonder what each of us, how we would experience it differently.
So every, like these different, are you suggesting like if I were to go to these places that you guys are saying, oh, that's my beach, like how would I react in contrast to, is that what you're saying? Like how would
yeah, that well, no, I mean that's, yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering how, because we have these deep personal connections to these places for reasons that not all of us share. And I'm wondering.
That's funny, because like when I was home in Wisconsin, I think it was Thanksgiving break, I took this hike through Rim Mountain State Park, which is like more of a bump, but it's the most of a mountain that we have in Wisconsin. And
yeah.
I took this about 2 hours of time to like hike through these woods. And it was just when the leaves were turning, some of the leaves had fallen. It was very yellow, very orange. And it was the best thing I could have done with my time at home. And it just smelt like fresh fallen leaves and just Wisconsin breeze and very crisp high up in the air in contrast to Wausau, the city around. And I made my way to the top and like I overlooked like this huge, like a massive spot of farmland. And like there was just orange and yellows and it was just the perfect fall day. And I don't know how much enjoyment you all would get from, I know that like you guys all wouldn't hate it because that's a beautiful thing to do, but oh my gosh, like to me, I grew up there and like that is just so, it like you said, like you're saying, Matt, it's so deeply personal and very very a part of who I was when I was like a young boy, but also now, because like I can go there and like relive these experiences that I've had there in the past. And it's very special
to say. Right, because I don't... Chris, how far north have you been in the Midwest? Have you been to Chicago?
I've stopped there on a connecting flight.
So you've flown... So no. Okay, so you've flown through Chicago.
Welcome to O'Hare.
That's not... Correct. O'Hare is the worst part of the Midwest.
That's true.
Wait, you're forgetting about
Iowa. Say I enjoyed it all that much.
No, it's literally the worst place in all... it's probably the worst place in the United States.
Oh, wow.
O'Hare?
Yeah.
Huh. Pretty bold. Sorry if you're from Chicago. Jeez.
Chicago is great.
Chicago is great.
No. Nobody who's ever been to O'Hare is going to disagree with that statement.
Yeah, it's not the best, most efficient place in the world.
I've had so many bad, delayed, canceled flights through there.
Yeah, we've done it. Yeah, you have.
I think... I'm going to jump in and get us back on topic. Sorry.
Please. Welcome back.
I hate O'Hare.
I think there's a certain like romanticism to like those things that you guys are describing, like and as friends of yours, I think if we were in those places, like if I went to I've been to Door County and it's gorgeous, or if, you know, we were in Wisconsin in the leaves or the sea, and with you guys knowing how much it means to you, like I think there's a certain romanticism there that like we can pick up on because we care about you, and like this place means so much to them, so it's got like an extra special some sort of like thing for me too. Is like, wow, like this is a cool place, you know. It's like I'm gonna take that deep profound thing that I just said and equate it to The Bachelor.
Oh no. But, like,
they do like hometown dates because it's a thing, like, you know what I mean? It's like this place is why a huge part of the reason like you are the way you are, and like I don't know, it's cool to see that
this whole place smells of manure, but you love it, and that makes it cool. there's a paper factory that literally smells like dying.
Yeah,
like everyone's dying around it.
Pretty atrocious,
but that's Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't know how many of you guys have gone through like big moves, but I think like that's a part of why mine is so. What?
I mean. Mike and I came from Wisconsin and Chris came from Massachusetts.
Right, no, but like growing up is what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, because like, you know we've all moved like a pretty significant distance.
For people who've lived in Tennessee, you guys have a weird affinity for Wisconsin. I just don't get it.
Nashville, born and raised. I love New Glarus.
Oh boy, how'd we get it?
You can't.
I think I moved like 5 times to like completely different school systems.
Really?
From kindergarten to high school.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I think that's like part of why it was easy for me to go out to Nashville, because I have just learned a lot from each time I've moved a different place. Kind of like Mike was saying, like you just, like you think you know yourself, and then when you completely change the environment around you, like you have to figure out what parts of you stay and like what parts of you are just like a part of a culture there.
Yes, and yes.
It's a really interesting thing to try to figure out. And so that's why like being in a place like Paris doesn't seem like any more out of the question for me than like moving to Portland or something. It's just like, if you're going to move and like start over, like there's going to be things that are the same, because people are people, like no matter where you go, and there's gonna be things that are completely different. And just like,
instead of local colloquialisms, it's French.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
Which is like for you, because you've taken French.
Yeah.
You'll get it. Just like if you moved to Portland, you'd get the slang there.
I'd learn how to be the perfect hipster.
Portlandish.
Yeah. It's perfect.
I think that, I mean, you make a great point, because like the one thing that remains consistent when you go to these different places is yourself. And like you learn these different things as it, like that trend continues. And I did not go through those moves. That's insane. 5 times from kindergarten to high school. That's a lot.
Yeah. Michigan to Minnesota, Minnesota to Minnesota, Minnesota to Iowa, Iowa to different place in Iowa.
So I moved a few times, but that was like before I was 3. And then I went to the same public school till I graduated. But I had a hard time like getting out of Wisconsin. I went to University of Wisconsin La Crosse my freshman year, which is a gorgeous spot in Wisconsin. Like it's very similar to the place I grew up, but it's not that it was too close to home, but there was something that was just far too familiar. And then by the time I got here to Nashville, like everything changed.
Okay. I am so sorry.
Let me just. Oh, what's is that a?
Is that a?
What's that? You have an ant. Trent, you got an animal in your house. Trent, look out!
It's a rogue cat.
Call security. There's an animal.
He's been biting me this whole episode. I'm just
gonna. No, I know. Penny's been gnawing away at my hand as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I've got this bottle of taco spray here.
Taco spray. Does it like smell of seasoning?
It's just water. For the purpose of deterring tacos.
It smells of cayenne and guacamole.
I squirt a little bit of some Taco Bell Diablo in there.
Some Diablo sauce.
So some Diablo sauce, just to really pester him. I don't do that. I love my sweet boy.
Yeah, don't do that. Cruelty. I mean,
that's what I put on my tacos.
I mean, his name is Taco, so...
So then it's okay. The abuse is warranted.
Gotta call Animal Protective Services or something.
I'm a vegetarian. It's fine.
That doesn't make you're okay. I don't think that evens out. I'm gonna be honest.
No, karmically it does. It does even out.
Oh, okay. I believe it if Zach says it.
Do we want to do a quick stalking?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wait. Yeah. 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 Well, wait, Chris has to said wait.
No, it's okay. I can wait.
You.
Oh, you can go.
No, let's stock the beer fridge. Sleep with the light. Sleep with the light on. Cast away your nightmares. Light of love of my life. And barely know you. Think I found the one called me
home. Hey, folks. It is Mike's turn to stock the beer fridge this week, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Michael and the Myriad. We've discussed this a few times on the show, but Matthew, Christopher, myself, Jeffrey, and Cameron are all in a band here in Nashville. The music we play is entirely based off of an album that I wrote I should call it an EP. Yeah, it's 6 tracks. It's based off an EP that I wrote this previous summertime. It's a very personal project that's near and dear to my heart. It would mean the world if you could go give that just a little listen on either Spotify or iTunes or whatever you consume music through. If you love it, that's awesome. I appreciate it. If you don't, hey, thank you for giving it a shot. We are trying to breach and blossom into the music scene here in Nashville with our new brand, essentially, Michael and the Myriad. And I mean, hopefully we get there. But honestly, right now it's just very near and dear to me. And hopefully it is for the guys too, because that would kind of suck if they didn't like it. But music is a big part of my life, and if you enjoy it, that makes it 1,000 times better. The project is called Where I'm Going. It is Michael and the Myriad on Spotify, iTunes. I've said these things. I'm just very excited about it still, 3 months after it's released. Thank you in advance for giving it a listen. And to continue the train that Matt has kind of conducted the past couple weeks, I invented a new word. Plagiarism. Well, let's get back to it. But first, a little bit more of Michael and the Myriad for your listening pleasure. River flow.
Forestry born through the ashes, I'll find you there. Where am I going? Thunder rattles my lonely bones on my own down the river flow. Where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I going?
Where am I going? Let's hear from Chris.
Chris, what's going on?
Something that I do frequently in conversation, especially with my family for some reason, and I guess not as much with you guys, but maybe I have. Anyway, I end up going back like 10 conversations to something else that I meant to say, but was waiting for the opportunity to say something about. So back to what Zach said.
This is a common Chris phenomenon.
I'm so surprised.
Yes. Well, because I hold on to it till there's a good opportunity. But everyone's forgotten about the conversation by the time I bring it up.
Isn't it funny that you just interrupted him?
Yeah, it's very ironic.
Is it funny or is it ironic? Thank you. Yes, it's very, very ironic.
So back to what Zach said about romanticism and just like being able to show
kiss
somebody the place that you came from kind of thing. What'd you say, Mike?
No, I didn't. Please.
He's just interrupting. He's just interrupting.
Oh, that's that reminds funny. Me.
Actually, guys, if I could butt in here for a second.
Just real quick, no I'm going to forget it. I didn't bring a notepad.
Man, I'm losing my train of thought now.
We should all mute ourselves while Chris is talking. And then we could just sit in our own filth and just
blah, 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 blah.
Stupid.
While Chris is talking. Oh, Chris said the word and I'm gonna say the word too.
Is essentially how we sound when Chris is talking.
I'm gonna say something else. Blah, 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 blah.
Sorry, Chris.
Romanticizing places and
Speaking of that, I
stop for the level.
No, we
stop.
Always talk about how we Chris actually, doesn't talk enough.
But we actually need to stop.
That's my favorite part of the podcast.
Oh yeah, it's my favorite. I love it, guys. I love this.
He should talk more, but he can't.
Romanticizing.
Okay. So Zach was speaking about romanticizing places and how people get to know more about a person by the place they came from and showing that place to that person or whatever. I kind of feel that, or have been feeling that exact way about this new-ish relationship I am in. And whenever I try to plan like an interesting date, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we went, oh, that's in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Oh, what if I showed her this place? Oh, that's in Massachusetts. Oh,
whoops.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like I've learned a lot about her because she's from here, mm-hmm. which is really cool. But I'm very excited for April when she's going to come to Massachusetts. And I can kind of show her all those places.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is great.
Yeah. And I'm super excited for that. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. That was just a short little anecdote related to a conversation from a year ago in this podcast episode.
That's always one of my favorite things, was to take the whoever I was dating at the time, like, home to see, like, where I grew up and, like, what my home life was like. Because I feel like I was pretty fortunate with it. So
Yeah, it's exciting too. Like showing that person, like I guess who you were.
Mm-hmm. The thing for me that's the equivalent of that is the Covered Bridge Festival, which is in Winterset, which is where my grandparents lived all while I was growing up. And like it's like the place where the bridges of Madison County is based out of. Like it's just this cute, quaint little town that feels like it hasn't changed in ever. And so like if I take somebody to this festival where they've got like root beer and funnel cakes and like live music and kettle corn, like all this just cute little square just with all these vendors. So like if I take somebody there, like that's like an official relationship, you know.
Right.
And that person means something cool. At that point.
Yes.
That's how it is. That's how it is with my cabin that I was talking about
earlier.
I remember some of my fondest memories of my fiance and my relationship is the couple of weeks we got to spend at my cabin, because we've been dating for like coming up on 5 years, and because I moved to Nashville right at the beginning of our relationship, the only time we've been able to spend like more than 1 or 2 days nonstop together is at my cabin. And you know, that double whammy of being able to see the person I love for more than 2 days and to bring her to the place that I was essentially raised in was just sharing that. And she loves it, or at least pretends to love it, because she knows I love it. So
she loves it. She has to.
She has to.
She must do it.
So if we're all done talking about this great, great prompt that Mike brought up, I have one last question for everybody. But I don't want anybody to answer it.
Okay. Interesting for a podcast.
Is this a riddle?
It's a riddle.
There's like the only things stopping us from doing these things are the constraints in our head.
Oh, no. Mine's student loans.
That are keeping us from... What?
Mine are student loans.
No. But you could figure that out. Like, you could figure that out. So... Why aren't you there doing it?
I don't think I'm ready yet. I think I want that to be a different part of my life. I feel like I'm not, you know.
To rent? I said don't answer it.
But I like the idea of talking about it, because that's an interesting thing.
I think part of the reason I'm not in one of the places that I said I wanted to be is because one of those places was a space station with Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, no.
But wouldn't that be fun?
Man, I had something very good to say, but it's fine. It's fine. I'm just, well, shut up, dumb idiot.
Yeah, Trent, quiet over there. So I think for me personally, if I were to go
Chris
to
love that one.
Some of these places that I would, I mean, I guess spend the rest of my life, the industry that I've worked towards, it would be very hard to make a living there. But yeah. I mean, you are right in a sense that like I could be there right now doing, I mean, a bartending gig or like work as a server job. But at the same time, I find a lot of passion in like what I've striven to do for the last few years. So I have my sights sought on, I guess, making a living for myself, although it's kind of crummy to say like, yeah, I just want to make money. Like I moved away from where I thought was just going to make me money to come do something that I'm very, very passionate about. And I guess the post-grad, it's exactly what I'm going to work towards to like better myself in that. But also I know for a fact that I'm going to spend some time this summer. You guys are going to miss me on poor quality for a little bit, but I'm going to go abroad for a little while. I'm going to backpack through hopefully... from France to like Poland to maybe all the way over to Moscow, down south towards like Italy, back through like Spain. I want to see Portugal and like all these places that like I was unable to see when I was abroad last time. I want to have these experiences for myself, especially when I am in my 20s and I have all the energy to do so. But also I have a life that I have to tend to, because life, I mean, life has rules.
I think, but what Zach is saying is that life only has rules if you give it rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a mental constraint that we put on ourselves for just to keep ourselves in order, to keep the machine running smoothly. And sometimes you gotta break that mold, which I think is, I mean, that's what you're gonna do this summer. You're gonna break that mold and go to Europe.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Moscow, see a mold.
Which is Moscow's like new DC now, right? Aren't they gonna change the name?
I think really? Something.
New Washington? Something like that.
Trent, I do wanna hear what you were gonna say.
Well, just like, I was even thinking, you know, could if I would win the lottery or something, like, I don't know how much I would want my life to change immediately, because, like, right now at work, like, I'm developing professional skills and, like, learning how to, like, be in that environment and, you know, having been to school for music stuff and now be doing IT stuff, like, I really enjoy where I'm at and learning, and I have my sights on the future on, you know, trying to do something more creative-based. And I think, like, a lot of these life moves will happen, because I don't think I'm the type who can just stick in one place. So I think, like, right now, like, with the school loans that I have and everything, like, I just want to make sure that I'm set up so that way, like, I can do these things in the future and not have, like excuses then, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, when I get to where I feel like I'm ready to make that transition.
I think personally, my fulfillment is not going to be, and I'm not saying anybody here's is, I just speaking personally, my fulfillment is not going to be where I am, but it's going to come from the happiness of my family and the people that I'm with and surround myself with. And this is something that I've talked to Mike and Chris about is when we all split directions, and I mean, two of us aren't even, like, Trenton and Zach are not even in the same state as us, and they're not in the, I mean, Chris, Mike, and I are all in the same house, but when we all split directions, I mean, I am so excited to start my family with Hannah, but I'm also really happy that we have things like the internet, like this podcast, that keep us close, because you guys are some of my most solid rocks in my life, and it doesn't matter where I am geographically. I'm so grateful for you guys and that we're able to share this friendship from such a distance, and that we're going to be able to continue that. Aww. Through life.
That's why I asked the other week, like, what are your plans for life? Because I think, you know, if you're like, yeah, like, Hannah and I are moving to Minneapolis or something, like, Minneapolis is sweet, and if that's where, like, life takes me next, like, that's still close to Zach. Like, Zach might have interest out there because there's some really good breweries up there. Like, I don't know. I think the only thing that would keep me from going out of country is because seeing you guys is just, like, incredibly important. Like, I try to get down to Nashville every other month. Like, I try to see Zach once a month if I can. It's been off and terrible recently, which has been just difficult. But,
yeah, hard on both of us, yeah. I think.
So it's, seeing you guys is important, and I don't know, it's hard to make friends like, you know, the ones you've made in the first few stages of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the things you guys are touching on are very touching, but
yeah, I'm tearing up over here.
There's, I love that, what you say, Matt, about, like, finding that, I guess, that peace of mind in your life where you can, like, find that solidarity and, like, have a home base. And that's what I've appreciated so much about being here. Cause even when Trent was living with us, like, I really, really felt at home, and I want that, like, for the rest of my life. I don't know if I wouldn't be able to be sane without it, but having those moments, like, outside of my comfort zone, outside of, like, what it means to be, like, I want to find out what it means to be, like, a nomad for 8 weeks and just go wander a while and, like, have those things outside of, I guess, the standard human spirit experience.
Right. And absolutely. And you should. I mean, yeah. That's something that I currently long for my fiance.
Yes. And you should. And I mean, you guys have been apart so long. But for me, like, right now, I don't necessarily have that to keep me grounded. So I'm looking for experiences outside of that all, but also I want to find that within myself so I can carry that on to a relationship that I can turn into a family, turn into a life, turn into death.
Whoa.
And then I'm gone. Okay.
Yikes.
Whoa.
Yeah. And just okay. like that.
We're bottoms up, folks. This was a nice episode.
That was very, very nice.
I was in a pretty bummer of a place pretty much this whole week, and was like, I didn't want to record with you guys because I didn't want to do anything. I don't know. Thank you for making me record with you guys and waiting an extra night, and for the good conversations. I think it's helped me a lot. So
you guys make me happy.
Yeah. Y'all are my rocks.
My stone.
You guys, I know. You guys are all rocks. You have rock. You guys have rock solid bodies.
Oh well, thank you.
love the Snapchats you sent me.
I was just gonna say, dovetailing into this. I know that Trent has asked people to email us if they listen, and just like, you know, other people are listening to this, we can see downloads and stuff like that. But reach out to us,
because we see like, that this we is... can see that you're listening.
We know you're listening.
We're I'm watching you, Daniel.
hey, but hey, Sarah. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, who's in Nebraska? Who are you? I want to know who's please, listening
can
in
you
Nebraska.
Please tell us who you are, because that's awesome.
Yeah. Reach out to us. We're cool.
We had an Australia download.
We did.
Hello?
Colin made a bad joke in our Facebook chat about it and then apologized.
And then we kicked him off the cast. You will never see Colin again.
Never hearing from Colin again.
Sorry for
Colin's
that.
Last episode was last week's.
Mostly because he insulted Wisconsin beer. But
I think we all insulted Wisconsin a little bit today.
I've never insulted Wisconsin.
I will never insult Wisconsin.
Mike, you're the insult to Wisconsin.
Hey, Mike, how about those Patriots?
Chris! Chris, I will come give you a nosebleed, Chris. I have been Michael Hopeless Wanderer Wadena.
Okay.
I have been Trenton Sanford.
Oh, okay. French, I like
all right.
I've been Zach Never Come Back Again Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
All right.
I've been Chris. So back to the beach, O'Brien.
Mm.
another sort of interrupting joke. I like it. I've been Matt crying at a gas station. Buyers.
You poor guy. Well, folks, it looks like we're bottoms up. We'd like to thank Waker for giving us time to crack open our cold ones with their song Gemini from the album This Is Waker. This particular show has been poor quality.
I don't know. I think this is one of anything.
Maybe for the first time ever.
But what else did you expect? Come on, guys.
What did you expect?
What can we expect
of the show?
Oh,
a new adventure every time.
I
Waker.
Stop your recording in 3, 2, 1.